Brian, we've discussed a bit about how adoption has accelerated, and we talked about the technologies that contributed to that, and a little bit about how user acceptance is accelerating as well. But it raises a bunch of questions in my mind that, you know, now that it's working smoothly and speech rec is good and it understands a lot more than it used to, is this all we can expect? I mean, what, you know, when you look at how people are using it frequently, you know, they set an alarm or they ask for a recipe or they're just telling their stream music to play. And that just seems kind of basic. So I thought we'd share a little bit of our thinking about, you know, what's next and you know, just where it's going.
Well, that's a wonderful way to look at it. All right. You know, if we take a step back, I like to use historic analogies on ways to gain a perspective. And if we look at the rise of the personal computer, just as Steve and Steve were coming out of the garage, you know, I remember Steve Jobs said, you know, there's going to be a computer in every home. And he instinctively knew that. And immediately after, reporters started hounding him. Why do I need a computer in my home? And he would have a textbook response, balancing your checkbooks and storing your recipes. I would submit that very few people ever purchased a personal computer en masse for those purposes. So we're in that command line, almost no color, definitely no icons era of the personal computer revolution. Essentially, Alexa, Siri, Cortana are dumb. They're Q&A devices. And a Q&A device obviously is doing wonder right now. I mean, if you look at the phenomenal growth angles, even today as we speak, Alexa is sitting in Whole Foods across this country, and they're being bought up at a level that most people were surprised. So it's already successful, but the next level is conversation and dialogues. And that requires a completely different thought process on how these systems are going to interact with us. Now, talking about this does make us all sound like futurists, because it's like talking about icons and double-clicking in Windows right when the Apple One came out. Nobody could have conceived of that CPU moving around more than a couple of pixels, let alone pretty pictures, right? And then the Macintosh showed up. We are not yet at the Macintosh moment of the voice-first revolution. And that Macintosh moment is going to be deep context on the user with security and permission, privacy, very big deal, and also full dialogue and conversation, right? And that's... That requires a much more AI, but it's here. It's here.
And so that's sort of on the user interface side. The other stuff that I was thinking about is, you know, we have access to all machine-readable knowledge and structured and unstructured data, all this stuff in the cloud. So that if it's if this is deeply understanding our intent and able to sort of complete our sentences for us and find things on the web. And now it's not just the web. It's data stores as well as data flows. So, you know, looking across calendar information and you know, we can use our own words do something much more than instruct. I mean, we haven't, this is what I get excited. We haven't really discovered it. I think, you know, brands and businesses have some designs on, you know, how to use these new ways of interacting or these conversations as a channel. But if you sort of put yourself into people's shoes and not think about business to customer as much as customer to business, we have these new vehicles for discovery, for whatever the conversational discovery turns into. But you know, sort of like, you know, we used to think, oh, you'll put a standing order in and remind me when, you know, Jordan sneakers come down to $75, not $125. But you know, but now it's more like, oh, you know, this intelligence can think, so to speak, for us, and you know, one of the things that one of the people in our office brought up is like, why couldn't you say to your assistant, you know, I want to drive from San Francisco to Reno between 6 p.m. Well, I want to leave at 6, and I want to drive 100 miles an hour the whole way. What's the likelihood of me getting stopped? and you think of what you think of what's in
that
lead
query. Got a foot there, Dan.
Yeah, but you think of the query that you made there. You know, and there are databases like where the police are and where the speed traps are and all that, and we haven't really used this intelligence as sort of the organizing entity for our lives quite yet. And that to me gets kind of interesting.
Yeah. Dan, you captured the magic right there. It's the ontologies and taxonomies that we'll have access to, that we already had access to textually using Google searches, but it would be intelligently assisted so that in real time, these taxonomies can be combined together for a lucid reaction. So you might make that question and the response would come back, well, you want to stay off of this road at this time, and I'm going to, you know, navigate you in a way where you can consistently break the speed limit and not get caught. And by the way, I'll keep an eye out on Waze for any time there is a potential problem up ahead. And so these things are truly dialogues. And when you think about the cognitive load and the mechanical load and how many times you had to move your thumbs to try to get to that same result, that's where the magic is. And that's that shift that I sense, that once you capture that, you don't go back. And once a device or a system or a platform has that ability to create those sort of dialogues, you will never think of going and try to do that manually. It becomes utterly ridiculous. And if you look at the tree of decisioning that humans do in their life, they're literally, I've identified over 14,000 common things. I mean, the average human only has 65,000 thoughts per day. 95% of them are the exact same thoughts of yesterday. And as the AI that I work on and what I use is something called a protocol, where I sift these thoughts down to something manageable so that the expectation of what the dialogues are going to be are within a sweet spot. And so you can almost anticipate what the dialogues and conversations are going to be. And I just ask anybody listening to us, imagine conversations with your significant other. There's a theme of conversation that weaves through your life, hopefully for good, sometimes for annoying, that comes up and down in your conversations with your close friends and family and loved ones. And I see this as being fundamentally a contact point in the voice-first revolution moving ahead.